My thoughts interrupted by the dust they raised, by the Bonaparte River and a big cottonwood. Six men rode up on me, up to no good. They said they heard I had money to spend. Mistook my good fortune for a loss they had. $200 in gold dust and coin. For a crime like that, they thought a man should hang. It was frontier justice, no law around. I was on trial, my head hanging down, and all I could say, it was lucky for me. Tom McLean come riding that day. In my sagebrush hearing, there was no real case. All testified I had a guilty face. If I hadn't done the particular deed, it was only because I hadn't got the opportunity. When they laid out my future, it was just as I feared. Dared to look up, another rider had appeared. He sat his horse tall, like he knew of their ways. By his long red hair, I knew it was Donald McLean. To know why the court was convened. So one of the minors of the jury explained. On the way to the evidence, it's pretty thin proof. So McLean advised to be on the safe side. They should turn me loose. Lucky for me that Donald McLean come riding that day. Well, 3 years later, in the Chilcotin War, McLean was too eager to settle the score. When he stopped his horse to have a short rest, took off his chain link, he was shot clean through the chest.
That was Frontier Justice from Alan Dobbs, Alone Together. Now I'd like to feature DSFU Relief's Hockey at this time. On May 17th, the BCIHL team were at Surrey Slam Jam, where drop-in attendees were eligible to win prizes. On May 22nd, the Independent Red Leafs announced that they added three more road games to start the 2025-26 season. The first game will be October 3rd against Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island, followed by Bentley University on 4th in Waltham, Massachusetts. Sacred Heart University on 5th in Fairfield, Connecticut, with the last two previously announced, and SFU will close their road schedule in October with dates against Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey on 26th and Long Island University on 27th in Brooklyn, New York, the western tip of geographical Long Island and the most populous borough in New York City.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Now recording. Hello, it's Steve Chong. Today is May 22nd, 2025. And on the line, I have... Please introduce yourself.
Armin Begu, MLA for Langley Abbotsford and the Transportation Critic for the Conservative Caucus, BC.
Armin Begu is the BC Conservative MLA for Langley Abbotsford, who is a small business owner in the heavy load trucking industry with 17 years in the aggregate hauling industry, and is the official opposition critic for transportation, being first elected as an MLA last October. Harmon, thanks for the interview today.
Thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure.
For context, the Massey Tunnel replacement project has been a long controversy, with a 10-lane replacement announced in September 2013 by the former BC Liberal Premier Christy Clark, but the BC NDP put a hold on the idea 4 years later, 4 months after getting elected in September 2017 for an independent review. The former Delta Mayor, Louis Jackson, preferred the 10-lane bridge, but the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, and his council opposed the idea. While the Delta Mayor, George Harvey, originally supported the 10-lane bridge after getting elected in 2018, he ultimately walked the support back in October 2019 after concerns on the light and shade that a bridge would have posed and concerns from Marina Garden Estate residents in the northern tip of Ladner. An 8-lane tunnel to replace the current Massey Tunnel was endorsed by Metro Vancouver mayors in October-November 2019, and the BC NDP government ultimately chose a toll-free 8-lane tunnel over an 8-lane bridge in August 2021, with the design-build contractor, the Cross Fraser Partnership, a 5-team consortium chosen last July. However, the Massey Tunnel replacement project has been marred with multiple delays as congestions in the current Massey Tunnel have worsened. And some have suggested, had the original 10-lane bridge replacement gone ahead at an estimated cost of $3.5 billion, With the lowest bid coming in at 2.6, it would have been completed by now. Meanwhile, the current Massey Tunnel project is slated to be completed in 2030 at the earliest, with the original price tag at $4.15 billion, but there are fears that the cost could balloon. So the first question is, what is your personal preference between a bridge and a tunnel replacement?
My personal preference would have been a bridge. The reason why is we have the ports there. They take a lot of loads. There's a lot of being in the trucking industry. You can't take flammable goods through a tunnel. You can't take dangerous materials through a tunnel. We have farming communities on the Delta and Richmond side. If they want to move a piece of equipment for their farming, now they're going to have to go down the 99, go down the 91, and go around. There's a lot of things that would have been a lot more helpful for a lot of the residents if we had gone through the bridge. And first and foremost, it would have been built by now. It would alleviate a lot of the traffic. And there's a lot of things. We want to be serious about reducing emissions. I don't know how we're going to reduce emissions when we're forcing all our farm vehicles to be taken all the way down the 99, 91 just to get to Richmond. And we have port-to-port access. We could have been running with some of the flammable and dangerous goods, but we can't take them through the tunnel. And if there's ever an accident in the tunnel, it has to be shut down to one lane. That's a Transport Canada issue, right?
Which option is preferred by your peers in the heavy load trucking industry?
They all wanted a bridge. Everyone wanted a bridge. They've seen the issues that happened with the tunnels. It would have been 10 lanes with the bridge. There were also would have been SkyTrain expansion that could have been added on to that. And now we're going to be doing the busways through the tunnel. And that actually only will have you 3 lanes each way, which Counterflow already provides you. And we see the backups even with the Counterflow. So I don't think it's really going to help out the congestion. By the time the bridge is done, we're going to need another couple lanes. I mean, by the time the tunnel's done, they're going to need another couple of lanes.
The BC Conservative South Delta MLA, Ian Patton, also echoed environmental concerns of the new tunnel. But how do you address concerns from Marina Garden Estate residents who are closest to the Massey Tunnel on the Delta side and ultimately convince the current Delta Mayor George Harvey to support the new 8-lane tunnel?
A lot of them have concerns with the tunnel replacement regarding noise, light, vibration effects around the areas. The Riverwoods Strata Development has been really vocal about that. And also, there's going to be 25 hectares of agricultural land use that's adjacent to the tunnel that's slated for temporary material storage during the construction. That's raised concerns about the loss of productive farmland. There's a lot of issues that a lot of residents have been having regarding this, and a huge one is the environmental. So right now, the environmental, during estimates, I asked Mike Farnworth, do you know where the tunnel is going to be sitting? Because you're already building the interchange on the Stevenson interchange. But if you don't know where the actual tunnel is going to sit, how do you know it's going to line up to where they're building the interchange? Because previously, he was saying during estimates, sometimes projects change. You have to change the way the road's going to go. You have to change the way the bridge is going to go to accommodate other communities. And right now, if we don't know where the tunnel is, the tube is actually going to sit, how are we going through with the interchange? And also, have we procured the land where the tunnel is going to have to go? And if we are, and if we need to acquire some land to do it off a business, are we going to have to overpay through the roof? Because I know if I owned a business and you needed this piece of land to put a tunnel through, you'd be charging more money.
I will get back to the Stevenson Interchange in Richmond later on. While the BC NDP ultimately killed the 10-lane bridge replacement for the Massey Tunnel, constant opposition from the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, and the Richmond City Council can't be ignored either. What is your response to Richmond's opposition to a bridge replacement? With the city's mayor, Malcolm Brody, and their council being silent to recent delays to the new 8-lane Massey Tunnel.
Well, they want to get something built in their area, and I believe Malcolm did say he wanted the tunnel after a bit, but the thing is, a lot of the previous councils supported the bridge as well. The bridge, the reason why, they see the shading effects, but what about the land that's going to be used to store all the equipment and everything? Isn't that a loss of farmland use? And there's bridges everywhere, all across British Columbia, and shading hasn't been a big issue. I think that was kind of a weak stance to take to oppose the bridge. And right now, just the way things are with the congestion, I don't know if we're going to get approval through environmental to even put through a tunnel through that area. It's a very, very delicate area with the salmon and everything else going through the river.
For the record, from what I found out, there were two council members in Richmond who accepted a bridge replacement for the Massey Tunnel, but everybody else opposed. Now to the Massey Tunnel replacement project. Tell me your reaction of the work being done in the Steepston Interchange in Richmond, but Delta's proposed River Road overpass, the second exit out of Ladner, being absent.
That is a huge concern, and that's something that my colleague, MLA from Delta South, Ian Beaton, had brought up, is that is a glaring missing hole. And I will tell you, when the Highway 17 was being built, I worked on that project, and if you're coming in from South Surrey, there is no direct route to get down towards Patola Bridge. You have to go down, take the loop, and come back around. We're going to create another situation like this. You're going to bottleneck traffic on a brand new project, just like what happened with Highway 17 when it was done. Then later on, they brought in and built the exit right down into the landfill there. So it alleviated some of the burden, but it still gets backed up because a lot of people have to turn around and get back onto Highway 17 heading towards the Patola Bridge area through that way. So there's a lot of concerns regarding that. And with the interchange, they've gone in, they've started putting the interchange part in, but is the tunnel going to align with that? That is a huge concern, because if they don't know where the tunnel is going to sit, that ground is very sensitive ground. If you look at the research, they had to go back in the 90s and early 2000s and re-strengthen the shore where the existing tube is sitting.
For the record, the Massey Tunnel is 66 years old, from what I understand. Finally, on May 9th, which was two Fridays ago, the BC NDP provincial government submitted a new application for an environmental certificate for the Massey Tunnel replacement project, a toll-free 8-lane immersed tunnel. So this question will have three phases. There are three questions in one. When do you think that the project will be completed? At what cost? And the possibility of the final project being a bridge instead of a tunnel?
Okay, well, the timeline. This tunnel is, you're looking at after 2030, 2031. The funding isn't there, and if the environmental doesn't happen in time, it's going to keep delaying it. The cost right now is projected to be $4.15 billion. I believe this project will be reaching close to $5 to $6 billion, and that is if it goes through. Because that is the big question, is it going to get reversed to it? That's going to come down to environmental, and that is still a long ways away, because you look at the funding. When I look at the funding breakdown during the budget, a lot of the funding isn't even going into the tunnel until 2026, 2027. That is when you'll start seeing some of the building start. So you're not going to have a good idea of when this project is going to be finished or if it will be on budget, because I'm telling you, that budget that they released it doesn't have a lot of funding going in there the first 2 years. So I believe it's going to be delayed a few years. It's going to cost a couple billion dollars more. It's going to reach close to $6 billion. And at the end of the day, I can't even say if it's going to be complete or not.
Thank you for this informative session, particularly on the last comment, whether the Massey Tunnel project will ever be completed in its current form.
On. I appreciate all the listeners taking the time to engage and get up to date on this, and it's great to see SFU leading the charge and educating the youth and paving the way for them to be some of the leaders in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I will edit this interview. It will be up sometime today, likely this afternoon, and will air tomorrow afternoon at CGSF.
Thank you very much. Have a good one, Steve.
You too. Appreciate
Have a good day.
That was my interview with the Langley Abbotsford MLA, Harmon Bangu, the BC Conservative Transportation Clinic for the opposition. My interview this week was the second of the Massey Tunnel Replacement Series. I will try to get to my third interview next week, either with the BC government or Richmond, who have been very silent on the Massey Tunnel delays. Now back to music. It is Eagles' self-titled album. The tune is Ta Top. Мы парень татарин, любви авторитарин. thank you for listening to episode 20 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. Now to the last tune before 4, it's Afro-Celt Sound System's Ova. Here's Glitchy Fiddles.
Broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1.